this time.
And our next celebrant is Jesse with 15 years.
Hi, I'm Jesse. I'm an alcoholic. God, the Zoom is like the worst angle always. My sobriety date is August 2nd, 2010, so earlier this month I celebrated 15 years. This is my home group, and I have a sponsor who is aware that she is my sponsor, and I sponsor other women. And I just want to say congrats to Chase. It's been really, really cool getting to have, because I have a front row seat to the change and the growth in the women that I work with, but for those of you who don't know, my husband and I have this, like, you know, transient home for the wayward alcoholic where we just, like, you know, sometimes move in newcomers. And when we moved into the place that we're living now, Terry was like, we needed to fill one of the rooms. And he was like, yeah, that kid Chase, go talk to him after the meeting. I think he's going to come stay with us. And he had about 90 days, and he got up here and was a 10-minute speaker. And I don't remember if he was talking about service or sponsorship. But his talk was like, it's great, you should do it. And I was like, that's the kid that's going to fucking rent a room from us? Outstanding, you know? And watching him grow and change and become a part of Alcoholics Anonymous and a participant in his own life is, it talks about it in the book. It says frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is a bright spot of our life, and it truly is. And this home group, I related so much to what he was saying about this meeting, because it is my home. It is my family, you know. Most of our home group members were in our wedding, you know. They've been there for us when we've moved, when I've had hardships, when family stuff goes crazy. I know that I can count on the members of my home group, much like an extended family. And it's crazy, you know, and like 15 years is weird, mostly because I just feel like it means I'm older, but I don't feel old. And like, it's nothing that I did, you know what I mean? Like, I just did the stuff that I was told to do and, you know, lied a lot of the time. And then I told the truth some of the time. And, and I got this life that's incredible, you know, and like, trust me, this is not what I walked into AA hoping to get. You know, I just like wanted to stop getting arrested, wanted my parents to get off my back. And I have this host of friends who are so much, the connections are so much deeper than like any barroom friend I ever made, you know, and I have people that know me at like a cellular level, and I have people in my life that in real time know what's going on with me, and I never had that before I got here. I thought I did, you know. I have a handful of people that kept me alive long enough to get sober, but I don't even talk to them like I talk to you guys, you know, and it's just, it's been such a wild ride, you know. 10 out of 10 recommend, you know, even with the shitty parts of life. Because when I first came in here, I was told, just because you got sober does not mean the world has stopped worlding. So, like, the sun is going to rise and set every day. Babies are going to get born. People are going to die. What Alcoholics Anonymous has taught me how to do is to weather any of those storms as they come through. And I don't have to do any of it by myself. And, and I sponsor a good amount of women. And, you know, they're all a little nuts, but I would expect that because they asked me to sponsor them. And, and the woman that I've asked to speak tonight is one of those women. And, funny story, we started chatting earlier this year, and, you know, I kind of could tell where the conversation was going to head at some point, and I was just, like, trying to direct her to, like, no, you should, you know, talk to your sponsor, have a conversation, like, don't ask me to sponsor you, because I'm super judgmental and I'm an asshole and I have lots of contempt prior to investigation. And, it is never ceases to amaze me that the women who come into my life that I'm like, it's not my favorite, end up being some of my favorites, you know, because she's, you know, taken direction like a fish to water, you know what I mean? And there's been this trend I've seen a lot with women who have a handful of years. And, like, I don't know, people who got sober during COVID, God bless you, because I don't know what that is. It's wild, but, like, I'm glad you're still here if you are, because I got to speaking with her and found out, like, some of this stuff that was just, like, very Cliff Notes version of sobriety, if you will, and, we've totally revamped everything, and she is, without a doubt, like, one of those phone calls that I'm like absolutely excited to answer the phone for, you know, not one of the ones that like, and if you've sponsored for a while, you know, you get those calls that you're like, damn it, I don't want to pause Netflix for this, you know, and I don't have that experience with Osana. So with that, I give you Osana.
And I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is October 15, 2021. This is not my home group. My home group is Sunday night speakers at Yana at 7:30 p.m. Even though this is not my home group, it does feel like a home away from my home group, which is a lot to say for somebody who came into Alcoholics Anonymous at 21 and felt so deeply uncomfortable that I was like, yeah, I'm never coming back. That's just not going to happen. I'm so grateful and honored to be here, and this is an experience that I never thought that I would have. My sponsor is amazing, obviously, and anybody who knows anything about her knows that she's pretty awesome, and also like a little bit terrifying, you know, like just a little. Gosh, I sponsor other women. I am available to sponsor other women. I've done the steps, probably too many times in some people's opinions, and I'm working through them again right now, which is the experience of a lifetime. It's been this time around, this is number 4 for me, and it has been so wildly different in comparison to anything I've ever experienced in my entire life. I am truly blessed to have the people that I do. I came in, like I said, when I was 21 for the very first time. I had no interest in this. I didn't want to be like sober in particular. I just didn't want to hurt anymore. And that was really the thing that pushed me forward to not drink and to continue not drinking for a long time. But this idea of a higher power and connectivity and letting go of myself, it was something I couldn't comprehend, and it was something I didn't want. I really didn't want what you guys had, and so adamantly I left, and I left very early. I did, a friend of mine really likes to say, where'd you come up with that number? I did my 60 and 60, and then like I returned for my 90-day chip like the prodigal son, you know, at 301 House. I was like, sup guys, I'm here to get 90 days. Haven't been to a meeting in a month, but I'm here. And that was really the beginning of all of the misery for me. Like, I thought my life was really bad before. I thought it was really terrible. You know, I had been through so many things as a child and so many experiences as an adult that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. And all of those things were excuses for me to drink one day after another, over and over and over again. But when I wasn't drinking anymore and I still had all of those things piled up inside of me, that's when my life got really bad and I expected it to get so much better. I spent 2.5 years without drinking and without doing a program. I never stepped into a meeting. And there was a day where I was working a job that I really didn't want to work, working hours I really didn't want to work, and being around people I really didn't want to be around. And I was done. I was tired. I didn't want to put in the amount of effort that I had been putting in to stay sober, because every single day my knuckles were white. Every day I was going home thinking about, I can just do some outside substances and I'll feel better, but alcohol was my one true love. It was the first thing that made me feel. And I was never not uncomfortable, but I didn't have to think about how uncomfortable I was when I was drinking. And so the time came where I really wanted to drink. Sorry, my mouth is so dry. Anyway, where I really wanted to drink, and next door to the place that I worked was a bar, and all the girls in this bar knew that I didn't drink, and they knew me, and I was convinced I was just going to go in there, and I was going to chug a couple, go home, no regrets, get up, go to work tomorrow. You know, that was, and it was going to be easy for me because I used to do it all the time. So why not now? And so I walked into the bar and I knew that they would be serving because it was noon, and for some reason they weren't. And I walked out and I thought, maybe I should go to a meeting. Yeah, maybe. And 3 weeks later, of course, because I like to put myself in as much pain as humanly possible, I went to a meeting. And things did not clear up right away, because there's this weird thing that happens when I'm dead set on doing everything myself, when I'm convinced that hyper-independence is the best path for me. I don't want to work steps. I don't want to be vulnerable with a sponsor, and I don't want to be vulnerable with friends or family members or anyone around me. I just want to keep doing what I've always done in a different tone, you know? It's like I'm a little calmer, but I don't want to do anything hard. And so I would have thought that my mentality would have changed in that three-year time span, but it didn't. Nothing about the way that I felt about Alcoholics Anonymous changed at all. And nothing about how I felt about myself or you guys changed either. I was terrified of all of you. And I was kind of like disappointed. I was like, you guys are all just like squares and nerds, and like nobody has as many tattoos as I do. You know, like my hair is split, dyed, you know, I'm super cool. And you guys are like, and, so when I came in this time around, I was still just, I didn't want to drink, and I didn't want to hurt, but I did not want to do the steps. I couldn't do it. You know, that was not like on my list of things that I wanted to do before my life ended. You know, it was like give myself over to the care of a higher power as I understand it. No thanks, you know? And the hole in the donut in the second step in the 12 and 12, that's me. That's what I think of, that's what I thought about all the time. Why would I change myself in any way? Because I'm going to lose myself. Mind you, I didn't like me, wasn't a fan, didn't have any perspective on myself that was positive in any way. But coming in and, you know, kind of doing a little bit of things here and there, sort of, I got real sick real fast, and I didn't think that was possible either. You know, I'm in AA, why am I not feeling better? Why am I going to meetings and I still really don't like anything that's going on in my life? And it's because I wouldn't dedicate myself. And I've been dishonest for a really long time. I told sponsor after sponsor that I believed in a higher power that could restore me to sanity, and the truth was that I didn't believe that I was insane, and I did not believe that any higher power would restore me to a place I had never been. So I finally told someone, I told a sponsor that about a year and a half ago, and she said, well, that's great. I really appreciate you being honest with me. And that was it. That was the end of the conversation. She didn't have any other solutions for me. I was like, you're not going to give me like an equation or like a 2 + 2? No? Okay. Cool. So, oddly enough, in the time frame between then and now, things started to happen because I got that honest, and it was terrifying to be that honest, but because I got that honest, that a higher power showed up in my life, because I was in a lot of pain, and that's how I always do this. That's how I always do life. It's not just AA, it's life in general. I always do the most painful, slowest route, because apparently that's just what I'm into, man. You know, like that's the only explanation for it. I guess I just like it that way. It has to be, you know. So I had some really great experiences in this last year and a half, and it started out very slow for me. I made a lot of close friends. I made a lot of concessions about myself, and things weren't going exactly the way that I felt like they should be going. And so I kind of started this isolation period. And then I had shared my story at a different meeting, and something about that meeting kept me coming back over and over and over again. And I wanted to meet those people and be their friends and smoke cigars with them. You know, I wanted to do those things. And I never felt that way before. I didn't have friendship. I didn't like people. And I really didn't like women. You know, like, don't put me in a room with another woman. I'm going to be weird about it, you know. none of my sisters can relate to that. You know, all of a sudden I started making these friends. And people would ask me, hey, are you coming to the meeting tonight? Hey, are you okay? Are you going to be there tonight? Hey, we're going to go do this after. Do you want to come with us? And again, my higher power showed up in my life in ways that I never could have expected, because I made a lot of friends, and I have a lot of friends, and some of my closest friends are sitting in this room, some of my biggest haters too, but I have a great life today. And I when I changed sponsors finally, I was terrified of what other people thought of me all the time. And it was what I thought about. I was terrified of what my sponsor thought of me. I was always afraid of what she would say or how she would feel about me or how she would react to something I did. And invariably, throughout this last year, I realized that, gosh, it just doesn't matter, you know? And that's it. And I would love to say that it means so much to me that it doesn't matter. And I know that that doesn't make a lot of sense, but to be loved freely and openly and without judgment has saved my life, and in ways, like, has made me better over so much turmoil in my life. So many things that I feared, I have only gotten better, and I've only gotten happier. And I've been put in a place of neutrality, and I believe that. I feel it today. You know, it's a beautiful place to just sit. You know, I'm not afraid of sitting alone anymore. I'm not afraid of the silence in my own house anymore. I'm not a super big fan of asking for help still, but I have the ability to do it, and I also have the ability to know when I have no business asking for help, because I put myself in a position to be hurt, you know. This program has done more for me than I could ever do for it, you know. My higher power has done more for me than I could ever do for it. These women have done more for me than I could ever repay, you know. There are women in these rooms that I've known my entire sobriety that I didn't have a conversation with until a year ago, because I was so afraid for so long, and I could not break out of my own shell. And I thought for many years that that would be something I would do, but it's not. And nothing that I do today is anything I would do. I know what I like to do. I like to hurt people's feelings. I like to be alone. I like to drink. I like to do drugs. I like to make money any way that I have to, in order to provide for myself. I like to, you know, just ruin my own life. And anybody that I can take down with me sounds like a really good target too. Those are the things that I enjoy doing. And I know I enjoy doing them, because I would smile when I did. The things that I do now have nothing to do with me. And I realized this year that these steps aren't about me either. They're about the next person. And they're about the next woman that I can reach my hand out to. If I can be a vessel to even one person to connect their hand to God's, then I have done more than I asked from Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I just wanted to stop hurting. I never wanted to feel that way again. And in turn, I got a foundation, a higher power that I rely completely on. I have an amazing job. I am back in school, which is something I could never have done when I was drinking or when I was not drinking. I have an amazing group of sisters. This first two rows or three rows is always so intimidating to new girls, but these are the best women I've ever connected with in my life, and I have a spiritual connection with every single one of them, and it's a beautiful, like, it's a beautiful life, and I always get so fumbly on my words when it comes to what my life is like now and what I'm like now, but I highly recommend this way of life for anyone who feels anything like I did, as uncomfortable as I've been my entire life since the day that I was born and could think my own thoughts. It's given me everything. Thank you.